My teeth! My teeth!
Wait, is this season two? I wasn't even ready yet. So what? Do I just insert a hot take here or something?
My teeth!
LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to repeat, but they are going to play the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Championship, and the Jets are going to be in the Super Bowl. You don't get much hot taker than that.
My teeth!
Take that.
My teeth!
Brooklyn style, baby! Brooklyn style!
My teeth!
Good evening, and welcome back to another edition of the My Teeth Sports Podcast. I am your host, the one and only Talon T. Doma. Take that. I think we're going to hit this one already. Take that. Taylor. It's January 11th. It's the second week that we're doing this into the new year. We gave you a nice little break. Gave you a Spitfire show. Makeshift show. I don't want to call it makeshift. But it was a show made just for you guys. Listen, I'm here in South Florida. You already know. It's another one of them days. We got cold. We got a little chilly. You know, in a couple of days. You know what I mean? But we're good now. Temperatures are back up to the mid-70s. I know there's no longer a need for socks. There's no longer a need for sweatpants. In fact, there was a day that we had that. But more than anything, you know what we have today? We have football. I mean, just football. We have it all. I mean, it's wild card football. We're talking about playoff football, college football, fantasy football, imaginary football, and Rose. Yeah, we can't leave him out of here, out of this. So, you know what I say, regardless of that time, regardless of the weather, it's always a good time to talk some sports. Back at it like a sports fanatic. Thank you for listening. You know, welcome back. Welcome back, thank you. I appreciate you. Now, listen, like, we, or at least I, may have seen probably some of the best or most interesting football that I've probably seen in my life in this entire weekend or this 3-day time span, I guess, if you want to say. All right, like, then, not for nothing, then I actually did the work. Then I actually did some research. And when I did my research, I realized that I kind of had to throw away a little bit of the excitement from what happened Monday night in the college football national championship. Because I think that may have escalated on what I thought this college weekend was. So, you know what? A recap. I'm not just gonna sit here and just, you know, just look for myself. You know, a recap. I look a little and see what's going on. And it started with Saturday during the podcast. Yes, you got a podcast Saturday, Friday, whatever it was, right? But it all started, I think it was Saturday. But it all started then, during the podcast, and we saw a defensive clinic or an offensive exercise in futility. But either or, right? We saw a game that there was either going to be an offensive clinic, you could even consider a defensive clinic, or offensive exercise in futility, right? Either way, it was oddly enough an exciting game that displayed a side of dominance. The Like, and what, it all depends on what side of the ball you're really talking about. But that's what happened. Houston played a side. Houston defense displayed a side of dominance that you're not really looking to expect from them, especially with a guy like J.J. Watt out. If this was their defense was led by their guy Merciless and that number one overall pick, Javanian Clowney or Jalavian Clowney. Javanian, I think it's Jalavian. Javanian Clowney. So early on, we're talking about 10-0 Houston. All right, early until a big run effort. And we're talking about massive yards being eaten up by Murray that eventually led to a touchdown. And that's the end of quarter, right? So by the end of the second quarter, by the half, we're talking about a 20-7 game. Houston and that D, them then on out, clamped down. Or you can say the offense gave up. Like I said, this is one of them games that I really want to see. It all depends on how you want to look at it, but I'm looking at it where I'm giving Houston all the credit in the world. Like, even though, yes, we all know that they didn't have Derek Carr sitting in there as their quarterback for the game, but at some point in time, you still have Mac on the defensive end. You still have what's his name? That's on your offense. I mean, you have a stud wide receiver that's supposed to be catching balls. He drops a lot of balls. We all know what happens to Crabtree, right? So that D clamped down. All the offense gave up. Listen, without Carr, this team is mediocre. Like, which lets you actually know. That's why I said, like, I don't want to take away too much credit from Houston, because that's what it seems like is going to happen here. Is that Houston is going to get a lot of credit being taken away from them because of the missing piece of Carr, who had this team thrown. Because it's kind of what we said, right? That's kind of what we alluded to when we were talking about last week's thing. Is that early on, that there's one thing that we didn't know, is that Houston has a defense, right? Clowney and Merciless came onto the scene, but Clowney was definitely has been a factor. That defense could make that offense work and make that quarterback look like he's on, or put that quarterback under duress. And you knew that they had a chance. And we know that Oakland has no defense, because they're always having a win by shootout, which is part of the reason why Carr is in the talk for MVP this year. So, without Carr, this team is mediocre. But like I said, which lets you know how important he is. And listen, even Houston's defense that lacked a J.J. Watt, They were able to railroad a Carlos Raiders team, regardless of how you put it out there. Like, that's exactly what happened, right? Is that a Houston defender that doesn't have J.J. Watt railroaded a Oakland team that didn't have Derek Carr. 27-14. As Houston now goes on to play New England. And following that game, was Detroit versus Seattle. For a game that wasn't close, boy, was it exciting. And not for nothing, Houston's 27-14 game was exciting, because at some point in time, like I said, there was a dominant side of the ball. And you got to see Javanian Clowney and Merciless constantly attack that quarterback, constantly come up with big plays, constantly come up with big hits, constantly come up with interceptions. We're talking about fumbles. There was play after play after play made on the defensive end. And since that was the only side that really had talent for Houston, that's where we expected it to come from. Just like on for Oakland, they had talent from the quarterback, in the wide receiver position. And they have talent in the running back position. And their running back did some work. Now, unfortunately for the for the wide receivers, they don't have a quarterback that could have gotten the ball, so they didn't do a lot of work. But for somebody that's supposed to be considered a very, very good route runner, I'm just saying, like, for somebody that's in his second or third year, he's not doing too much. He's not being very impressive when he needs to be. And people may have to start looking into his work ethic. So, like I said, Detroit followed that game. And Detroit's game, even though it wasn't close, it was still exciting. Like, and unfortunately, Stafford being off slightly, and we're talking about just ever so very slightly, was all it took for him to be in the danger zone. For him to be in the
danger zone
of the battle-tested Seahawks. That's all it took for the battle-tested Seahawks to come up with a victory. That and big plays from guys like Richardson, who in the second quarter with 7 minutes and 7 seconds left, after the Seahawks make a 60-yard put together a 60-yard drive in 14 plays, he ends this, Richardson, with a one-handed touchdown catch that also had a pass interference attached to it on both sides, on offense and defense. But it was negated, overlooked, one-handed, pressed against his body, touchdown, Seahawks goes up. And that's not going to be the first time that Richardson, or the only time that Richardson makes a big play. Basically, every single time Richardson made a catch during this game, it was a big play, and it was a big catch, and it was spectacular, and it was down the field, and it was one-handed, and it made you say,
oh, man, oh, man, oh, man.
Like, it was really that good. I even heard the commentators wonder, hey, is this old Elvin Beckham that we see him playing? Or is this some guy named Richardson? Like, listen, they double-taked. It wasn't me, it was them. It wasn't me, it was them. It wasn't me, it was them. I just knew that this guy did work. And I knew I had to mark it down. Second quarter, 7 minutes and 7 seconds left. Right? But that's not the only thing that I noticed in that second quarter. As Richardson basically, I told you, every single catch that he made that game was a big catch. Three catches he made. 48 yards, one touchdown. That's it. That's it. That's all it took for the Seattle Seahawks to win 26-6. The next thing I noticed right after that, second quarter, 4 minute 57 mark, Anquan Boldin makes a great catch on the side, but then he gets pushed out of bounds. All right, and then he pushes a guy. Oh, he goes out of bounds, and then he pushes a guy that's out of bounds, and gets personal conduct call made on him. And at that point in time, I look at it, I'm like, this team has just completely unraveled, because that is it. That is it for them. Thomas Rawls comes up with a big night. You know, he runs for a big night. 27 carries, 161 yards, one touchdown, basically averaging 6 yards per carry. And Baldwin, 11 receptions, 104 yards, and a touchdown that he stole from a tight end. We'll talk about the rest of these wild card weekend when we come back from this commercial break. You are listening to the My Sports Podcast, live on Mixlr.
Let me put you in the game. Being taken advantage of isn't a game, and it needs to stop. Aren't you tired of being ripped off by those other guys? Then head to MultiVest Video Games and get the value you deserve on your games and gaming products. Your games cost money, and you shouldn't feel like just giving them away. So why continuously buy a membership for prices and deals that you should be getting anyway? Multiverse Games not only has fair pricing and great trading deals, Multiverse has a wide variety of games, not just all your popular next-gen titles, but also all your favorite old-school titles and systems. Starting as early as Atari and Nintendo, to as current as PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, and yes, that does include PlayStations, GameCubes, and Xboxes in between. Even family-owned and operated for over 10 years, just off the intersection of 183rd and 7th Avenue in the Nurses Registry Plaza. That's conveniently located at 830 Northwest 183rd Street, Miami Gardens, Florida, 33169. Believe it or not, just 5 minutes from Sun Life Stadium, $7.90 the ticket, and oh no, let's not forget Tootsie's Adult Entertainment Center. Multiverse Games, where you save more so you can play more.
And we are back, and thank you. If you are listening, that means you took the time, and you happen to be listening on the MixLR app. I thank you. I am your host. I'm still here, Talent T. Taylor. And we're still talking about this Wild Card weekend. This, because we just finished talking about Saturday. When are we going to talk about Sunday? Sunday, we were finally privileged. And that's what I'm going to call it. Right? Sunday, we were finally privileged to listen. Or not to listen. But to witness. To see. To behold. To feast our eyes on Pittsburgh's Steelers. I don't have my boo here today. I have to apologize. She's sick. So I don't have her to yell out for me what, you know, what she thinks of the Steelers. But, you know, hopefully we'll get her back in the fold a little bit later on. But for now, they're the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we got the opportunity to finally see their three-headed monster in a playoff game together. And they didn't disappoint. Even though the Dolphins disappointed their whole entire fan base, the Pittsburgh Steelers did not disappoint the world. Ben Roethlisberger, not Bell, not Antonio Brown. They would not disappoint the world. They came through and they were everything. Every single thing that we expected them to be. Antonio Brown, 5 receptions. That was it. He didn't need 11 like Baldwin. Just 5. 5 receptions. 124 yards. Can we give him one? I'm just saying. That was him. That was him. Le'Veon Bell. Now Le'Veon Bell was kind of like his counterpart in Seattle. A little bit more than 27 touches. Just slightly more. 29 touches for him. But that also equated to 6 more yards. 29 touches, 127 yards, 5.8 yards per carry, and 2 touchdowns. And big Ben Roethlisberger.
Danger zone.
13 for 18. As remember, 5 of them went to Antonio Brown. That also went for 2 touchdowns. 197 yards for Big Ben. 2 touchdowns. So basically his only 2 passing touchdowns went to Antonio Brown. But let's not forget, Le'Veon Bell ran into as well. And Big Ben also threw 2 interceptions. But at this point, like I said, you are spanking. And when I say you are spanking the Dolphins. Who cares? But I told you that the Pittsburgh Steelers didn't disappoint. Well, I kind of lied, folks. I lied. And I didn't mean to lie. It's just that they finally did disappoint. Not wanting to not play the whole entire game. Not wanting to not take their foot off the pedal. As the Steelers would go on to rout the Finns 30-12, Ben takes a late hit that puts him in a walking boot. And just like I said, that you're not going to want to be slightly off if you're Matthew Stafford going against a guy like going against a battle-tested team like Seattle. Well, if you're Big Ben, that's not good. As Andy Reid and Kansas City waits to take on the Steelers. And Andy Reid and them boys are able now to plan for Ben Roethlisberger, who isn't 100%. Who isn't going to be himself. He's going to try to play. And if it's not him, then it's going to be somebody that isn't Big Ben. Going up against what Andy Reid is going to be able to plan for. And that defense that they have. I just put up the numbers that they have. Wild card weekend. Wow. The wild card weekend would end with the Giants versus the Packers. Or, as I called it, Captain Cold and what we have known now as his shipmates versus Heatwave. And that, yes, and that firing squad. Flame on. That. Flame on. That fire that he has going on. Now, you know, I'm going to tell you a story. I'm not going to lie. I completely missed the first half of this game. I was working, and I got caught up in a debate, in a conversation about money, stock market, medical marijuana, you know, trying to make your funds grow for you kind of ish. Right, a very long conversation. So completely missed the first half. Right? But I saw that Jordy Nelson went out injured. And I figured things had to be going the Giants' way. Boy, was I wrong. So I speak with a friend of mine, right, at the half. As I'm on my way home to go watch the game. And she's noticeably upset about the play of the New York Giants. And I give her my hypothetical scenario of the only way that I thought possible that the Giants could lose this game. Because we said before, the Giants had a defense that was sustainable as long as they had the offense that can also put up numbers. Because, like I said, I call this Heatwave versus Captain Cold for a reason. Eli Manning being Captain Cold because he has been here so many times, he never buckles under pressure. He hasn't missed a game in his whole entire 9-year NFL career. You know, he never changes his demeanor. He never looks like he's overly excited. He never looks like he's down on himself. He's just even-keeled, stone-faced, cold, you know, frozen-hearted Eli Manning. And I called Aaron Rodgers, Aaron, Heatwave, because his team came in here winning 6 straight after his team had to win 6 straight just to make it into the playoffs. So I didn't figure that the Giants defense, unless they just completely got to an elite level, was going to be able to stop Aaron Rodgers this game, but at least slow him down on some points as long as they got help from their offense. But that's what we said on the podcast. But what I told her is that the only way I really see you guys losing is if early on, like Odell Beckham and them, you know, drop some early passes, like some easy passes, like for touchdowns like he did in that Carolina game, you know, against Josh Norman. And they all of a sudden start fretting and start buckling underneath that pressure, because now all of a sudden, not only does Odell Beckham not do good with early misses, we've seen him throw tantrums on the side, we've seen him attack nets, we've seen him basically, the reason why he got the name now for me, ODP, Old Dirty Player, you know, we've seen him, you know, spare himself into Josh Norman's jaw, into his temple, trying to end his career. We've seen him complain that he's not having fun anymore when they have a couple of rocky games. We've seen this guy do this. So knowing that, I was like, oh yeah, if he starts off kind of shaky, then I can see them having a bad game. And she goes to me, yeah, they had a couple of things like that. And she didn't really confirm or deny that that's what happened. But then I saw it. I made it for halftime. Then I saw it. I flat out saw it. Right? Everything is starting to flow for the Giants. And then you get a dropped touchdown pass from none other himself, Old Dirty Player Odell Beckham. And that begins to set the tone. Then that's followed by a drop touchdown pass by Sterling Shepard. Well, I told you, A-Ron is over here with that. Oh, not that at all. Yeah, that's not what he came with. He came with the Aaron Rodgers dances and throws lasers to Adams for a touchdown. And then, again, another Hail Mary with no time to end the half. Giants get another big play. And eventually a touchdown by a player not named Odell Beckham or Sterling Shepard. And that was the key of it. Is that after those drop passes by Sterling Shepard and Odell Beckham Jr., all the big plays the rest of the game came from players, not them. They never got back into the game. Then it was Green Bay with a big play to Cobb. Then it's touchdown. Then it's touchdown Cobb, big play Montgomery. Then you know what I mean? Then it's touchdown Cobb, big play Montgomery. Another drop ball by Odell Beckham. Touchdown Cobb. Then an incredible sack strip recovery 15 yards upfield. Yes. A sack strip recovery 15 yards upfield. As everybody stood around and watched as Clay Matthews hits Eli Manning from the back. The ball goes flying forward. Everybody looks at it as it's an incomplete pass. Ryan Matthew goes and he jumps back on the ball. 15 yards upfield. 38-13. Green Bay wins 7 straight. And they go to take on Dallas. We will talk about the rest of these playoffs as we just finished up the Wild Card Weekend. When we come back from this commercial break, I am your host, Talon T. Toma
Take that, take that, take that.
Taylor.
They didn't join this team to win championships or become famous. They joined because there is important work to be done, and only some able to do it. They are brighter, better educated, led, and equipped than any team in history. They are doctors, lawyers, engineers, technologists, and combat troops, all prepared for whatever comes their way. You'll find them where the lights don't flash, and the only contract they sign is with themselves and their country. One day, they may be asked what they did to make a difference in this world, and they can respond, "I became a soldier."
We are back to the Mighty Sports Podcast. I'm still your host, Talent T Taylor. If you're listening, you're still listening live, right? If you're listening now, we're talking about Wednesday night, January 11th, 8:38. If you're listening right now, you're listening live on the Mixlr app. I thank you for taking the time to listen, download the app, whatever you did, find me. Right? So, what that does now, right, as the wild card weekend is over, right, that sets up the divisional round, where we have Houston taking on New England. And we're just going to go through these real quick, because we want to talk, because, listen, we already told you, this is going to be a football-heavy day, and you already kind of know the kind of football that I want to talk about. I want to talk about the kind of football that ended with a
champagne showers, popping in the club, we lighting up. Hey, our house is champagne showers, champagne showers.
That's what you want. But it's okay. We're going to get there. There's still to come. We're going to get there. Trust me. We got plenty of show left today. We're going to make sure we get there. So the first game we're going to talk about, the divisional round, is Houston versus New England. And I personally hope for the hopeless Houston. I do. Because I hate New England. I absolutely 100% hate New England Patriots. The only organization I hate, like I hate New England Patriots, or the Miami Heat. Let's not get that twisted. It's them. The only player I think I hate throughout history, the way I hate Tom Brady, may be Reggie Miller. So, when I say I hate New England Patriots, I hate their organization, I hate their franchise, I hate them as a clique, as a record label, as something that pays hardworking people to do shit. Like I wish they would go bankrupt and honestly put all those people that ties themselves to the New England Patriot brand out of business. I'm saying that's how much I dislike them. But yet I'm no fool, and I still know that Bill Belichick is talking about Bill. If I'm going to talk about giving Kansas City and Andy Reid time to prepare for Ben Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and the Pittsburgh Steelers, if I'm going to give Andy Reid and them the edge and credit for it, then I have to give somebody that I put above him even more credit against a lesser team, and that's Bill Belichick, even though I hate to say it, as a Jets fan. Yes, as a I don't even know if I want to stop this again. But as a... as a Jets fan, I can't wholeheartedly like them. But as the sports person that you need me to be, I can't deny the fact that they're probably going to end up winning. I see no reason. Like, listen, that D is nice. Like, listen, let's say maybe. Let's just say maybe. This defense has been doing what they're doing, and all of a sudden now, right, J.J. Watt is finally now coming back. And now you have Merciless, J.J. Watt, and Javonian Clowney doing what they did in last game to Tom Brady. And yes, I can see Tom Brady top dancing, because we all know what a good defense could do, a la Ray Lewis and the Baltimore Ravens can do, a la Rex Ryan and Rex Ryan with Bart Scott and them boys and Darrelle Revis. We know what a good defense can do. So that would be the only way I see Houston winning. But now we give it Bill Belichick a week to prepare for Houston that has no real offense, that really just has defense, and all you have to do is just find a way to dink and dunk your way and get that ball out of your head and to eliminate or alleviate or to even out what Clowney and Merciless might be able to do against your team. I'm taking New England that one, but like I said, I have hope for the hopeless Houston. And this is going to be the big kicker here. With a limited Big Ben Roethlisberger, I am going to take Kansas City and Andy Reid to be able to come away with this game. Which now takes us over to the NFC, which gave me a lot more strife to try to see what was going to happen. So, as you guys already know, I'm kind of going for Kansas City and Seattle. But from week to week, things change, situations change. I'm not blind to what may happen. I'm just saying that I have my picks, and right now, that's where they are. Seattle versus Atlanta. While Atlanta's offense is nice, and when I mean nice, they are another team that is definitely, like, all you see is fireworks. Like, a lot of fireworks. So all you see is, because all you see is stars and studs everywhere, right? And unfortunately for them, it's still kind of hard, especially now that you're like, okay, you're going against a battle tested Seattle team. So Seattle is kind of like New England for me. I'm gonna have to believe it when I see it. And while Seattle is battle-tested and has been known these last 4 or 5 years for making it to the NFC Championship or making it to the Super Bowl, Matty Ice, you know, Matt Ryan, has been the complete opposite. And Matty Ice, because he has ice in his veins during the regular season, has been the complete opposite, because he freezes in the postseason. He freezes in the playoffs. So this is going to be one of those, I'm going to have to believe it when I see it. And until I see it, I'm taking Seattle over Atlanta. Because Seattle has been here way too many times before. And Seattle still has to prove that they are deserving of that 12-4 record. And they are deserving of this bye, and if that bye didn't hurt them. But like I said, Seattle went into that game and won 26-6 over a high-powered Detroit team that also likes Dome. So you know how that goes. We don't see. We're going to have to see what happens here. But I'm taking Seattle. Atlanta's going to have to prove it. And then the game that caused me strife. The game that caused me the most strife. Green Bay versus Dallas. Because all the aficionados have said, basically, whoever wins out of the Giants versus Green Bay is basically who's going to end up playing in the Super Bowl. They'll end up going through Dallas. They'll end up going through whoever Seattle, Atlanta is, and they'll end up playing in the Super Bowl. Definitely the NFC Championship game, but the Super Bowl. Basically, they've overlooked Dallas. And Dallas is kind of in a predicament where Green Bay is, I believe. Well, not Green Bay, but Atlanta is. Where Dallas has been on fire all season. But Dallas has a rookie quarterback that has never played in a playoff game before and has no clue the speed that he's about to witness. Ezekiel Elliott is a rookie running back that has never played in the playoffs and have no clue the speed that is coming for him. But then again, Green Bay doesn't have the kind of defense that, once again, makes you worry. But, hey, I said that last week, and look at what they did to the offensive line of the Giants. But once again, that's also an offensive line that we knew had a deficiency in a guy named Flowers. The Dallas offensive line doesn't have that kind of deficiency. So now what you're talking about is, can Dallas defense do what the Giants defense couldn't? Even though the Giants are slated to have a better defense. Because we expect the Giants, we expect the Dallas offense to be able to do what the Giants offense couldn't. But can the Dallas defense stop the red hot. Aaron Rodgers. And that's going to be the question. And also a place that, like I said, that also likes dome. They can pull back that retractable roof and they can close up that sucker. Or they can leave it open. Let the sunshine and that wind blow in. I have a feeling they're going to want those temperatures to be as ripe and perfect as possible for their rookie quarterback and running back. Which means that you also make the temperatures and the conditions perfect for the Super Bowl champion, veteran, bad man, crowned best quarterback in the league, Aaron Rodgers. So why Dallas has only lost 4 games? Two of them came against the Giants. The Green Bay Packers just demolished the Giants as they continued to win. Now it's their 7th straight game. I'm really leaning towards Green Bay. I'm gonna have to go with the experience here, guys. It really is. New England, Kansas City, Seattle, Green Bay. And we get to see Seattle and Green Bay next year. Or next week. It's going to be interesting. I kind of want to see Dallas win. It's a part of me that does, but it's tough. It's tough. And the thing about it is that once all of this ends, this whole Super Bowl, we know we get one step closer. One step closer to But we ain't gonna talk about that. That's a little too far away. What isn't too far away is Friday. And what you shouldn't be doing is trying to figure out what to do. So listen, if you ever stop trying to figure out what to do on a Friday, stop worrying, stop thinking, head down to Capone's Nightclub in downtown Fort Lauderdale. This is where you're going to find my boy, my friend, DJ Sep, the Mixing Lounge, so you can start dancing and start drinking. Listen, if you're one of those introverts and you need a little pick-me-up first, you know, you need to loosen up, listen, it's okay. You can start drinking so you can start dancing. Whatever you do, you make sure you do with DJ Scepter. That's every Friday from 10 p.m. to 4 a.m. Ladies, you bring your sexy. Fellas, you bring your swag. It's going down to Capone's. Listen, but wait. But wait. There is more. You could find DJ Scepter at O'Malley's 10 p.m. to 2 p.m. If you're ever trying to figure out what to do on a Wednesday. Wait, you mean tonight? Yes, I mean tonight. That's at O'Malley's from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. O'Malley's on 441, right between Coconut Creek Parkway and Royal Palm Boulevard. DJ Scepter plays everywhere you want to be. I'm talking about birthdays, weddings, bar mitzvahs, bachelorette parties, quinceañeras. We're talking about Super Bowl parties, Mardi Gras parties, Cinco de Mayo parties. Yeah, New Year's party, he just did one. Anything. DJ Scepter puts a royal touch on everything. And for reservations, just go to Bookings. That's B-O-O-K-I-N-G-S at DJScepter.com. And we are back. I'm still Talent T. Taylor. Still here. Mighty Sports Podcast. And where we left off, we just finished off basically the weekend. Saturday and Sunday. This what I call amazing 3-day span of football. And all that ends, right? So the Saturday and Sunday is over. The NFL ends, right? And we get the NCAA championship game. And this was wholeheartedly a tale of two halves. And most noticeably, things weren't like they were last year. Let's just say that was the first thing you know. That's like we didn't watch this game and say,
"Oh man, oh man, oh man, not again."
Like we didn't get one of those. What we got this time, when we got Clemson versus Roll Tide Alabama, we actually got a game. We actually got a game. We got a game where, in this game alone, it is said that they're going to be at least, at minimum, 10 pro prospects. 10 pro prospects. A ton of them. Or a good half of them. Or more majority. A good majority of them. More than half in the number spectrum, right? In the four areas, we're gonna break them down to, or the six areas or whatever. Special teams, offense, defense. But the majority of them go into Alabama's defense and Clemson's offense. So that means that anytime we saw Clemson with the ball, we were basically watching a pro style game. And we did. We saw big hits, helicopter-like hits, as players attempted 15-yard runs just to come up a yard short as he go helicoptering through the air to get a first down on 3rd and 15. We're talking about Clemson's running back. I mean, Clemson's quarterback. We are seeing blown coverages that led to easy touchdowns for Alabama after Clemson would slowly try to creep back. We saw Clemson very slowly wear down Alabama. On wear down Alabama's defense. And like I said, this was a tale of two halves. Where in the first half, it was all Alabama. One of the things that you notice first thing, and one of those first things that they weren't putting away Clemson the way that they did in last year's game. That Clemson was just always kind of in striking distance, a touchdown or two away, a stop away. And in the second half, that's what they did. They made enough stops. They made enough touchdowns. And with 1 second left on the clock, they score a game-winning touchdown to go up 35-31. And even more so, let me get back closer to the mic. Even more so, what happened during this game, every time Clemson scored, the kicker made some kind of short pooch kick that was being questioned all game, given Alabama good field position, 25-yard line, 30-something yard line, 41-yard line. But after Clemson went up 35-31, you would think that this is finally the time that they kick the ball all the way down the field. No, they don't. All of those pooch kicks was in preparation for the onside kick that traveled 10 yards and was recovered by Clemson just so that their quarterback can come back onto the field and take a kneel in victory formation to win Clemson their second, but his first ever national championship. I'm sorry, Clemson's first ever national championship, because this is the first time that they've won one in new playoff form. Which now says that we have now, in 3 years, we've had three different winners. We've had Alabama 1 year, we've had Florida another year, and now we've had Clemson another year. So even though Alabama has been right there at the top all 3 years, Alabama has not been the team to win it all 3 years. So, hey, chalk one for parity, I guess. And that's football, folks. We got what was just a great rounding of football that's basically culminating the end of a season. A season where, for us New York fans, right? Giants, Jets. And the Buffalo Bills, right? It's the end of all of their season now, officially. A season that, for the Giants, saw Eli Manning put up 4,027 yards, 26 touchdowns, a QBR of 55.4. Right? Leading rusher for the Giants, Rashad Jennings, 593 yards on 181 attempts. 7 touchdowns. And number one receiver for the Giants, of course, we already know, old dirty player, 1,367 yards. That's 101 receptions, 10 touchdowns. It's not a bad ratio. Every 10 catches, he scores a touchdown. That's almost 10% of his catches going to be a touchdown. Followed by the New York Jets that... Well, we shouldn't say New York Jets, since they were the last team. Let's go with the Buffalo Bills. As we saw Tyrod Taylor. Put up 3,000... We'll hold that off. Put up 3,023 yards. 17 touchdowns. LeSean McCoy leading rusher for the Bills. 1,267 yards. As you can see, he's obviously... And I'm just going to say now, he's obviously... He was the most productive back out of New York. As Eli Manning was the most productive quarterback out of New York this season. 234 touches for LeSean McCoy. 13 touchdowns. And then their receiving game could have used work, obviously. As Charles Clay is their leading reception, their tight end. 552 yards, 57 touches, 4 touchdowns. And then we get to my team, our team. The team that I love, the team that you love, the team that... As for the first time ever, I found a way to sneak that in there for a third time. Right? New York Jets. I need to stop picking. The New York Jets. Fitz Magic. 2,710 yards. 12 touchdowns. A QBR 44. I didn't have Tyrod Taylor's QBR. Matt Forte, 813 yards. That's 218 touches. Only seven touchdowns. That's just as much as Rashad Jennings that had, what 30 less touches and about 200 yards less. And then there's Nunwa, that was surprisingly the leading receiver for the New York Jets, with 857 yards, 58 targets, 4 touchdowns. So that shows you, like I said, that's one target more than Charles Clay, but easily 300 more yards. And that takes the Jets right into, like I said, that takes us right into. And season, that's going to take the Jets right into their time to start. And I don't know if I've mentioned this last week, because I may have and I may have not. But the Jets are so far, as all rumors are being heard, that they're eyeing this guy, this kid named Trubisky. And that's basically the last thing I remember hearing about football. Oh no, I lied. Let's not forget. So we have the draft. I said, we have the draft coming up. But the Bills also are going to set to sign Panthers. You know what this is, folks. You know what this is. You do know what this is. This is breaking news, folks. Yes. The Bills are going to sign Panthers defensive coordinator Sean McDermott as their head coach. It's everything we get in football, folks. And then, as I said in the beginning of the show, we get stung by the Rose in New York. Derrick Rose goes missing for a whole entire day. Says it's for family issues. Seems that the family issue was that he missed his mommy. That is the only issue that he had. But currently, right now, the Knicks are playing the 76ers. They're up 70, or the end of the third, they're up 75-71. Carmelo Anthony's put up 28 points, 2 rebounds, and assist. Earlier, at the end of the half, I think the leading scorer at the half was leading scorer at the half was Derrick Rose at the time, and he was showing signs of showing signs of roseness, as he and currently right now has 29 points. We said Carmelo Anthony has 28 points. O'Quinn has 10 points and 15 rebounds. And Kristaps Porzingis has no points, folks, and one assist. Only two shots. We could look into this and see. No, sorry, that's Kuzminski. Ha. Sorry, that is not Porzingis. Hold on, let's take a look. I want to see what's going on with Porzingis. Oh, Porzingis, 7 points. 3 of 9 shooting. Struggling a little bit over there. But as we said, Knicks currently still up 89-81. In the fourth quarter. Thank you, folks. You know what? That is the show. I think that's everything. We got in all the football we needed to get in today. We even got a chance to talk about Derrick Rose, the New York Knicks, and a little bit of basketball. And just know that we are pretty soon fully fledged, wholeheartedly going into basketball mode. We're going to check into things and see what's going on with our two local teams. As we know, it is the season for me to start getting back with the Hollywood Browns and the Jupiter Hammerheads and also the Palm Beach Cardinals. So we see what's going on with that. I'll keep you guys posted. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. You know, I was always appreciated. If you're listening live on the Mixlr app, that means that you took the time to download and listen to me live. If not, then you're probably going to catch me up on my other stations. And by this time, no, not by this time, tomorrow, by this time Friday, we will be back up on TuneIn Radio. Not as a live stream, but so that you can find all of our stuff that we've been doing in the last couple of God knows how long. I know you guys miss me. I miss you too. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Stay tuned. Stay blessed. And don't stress.
Sorry, boys. All the stitches in the world can't sew me together again. Lay down. Lay down. Always knew I'd make a stop there.
Don't forget to follow me on Twitter.
A lot later than a whole gang of people thought.
My T Sports on Facebook.
Call for drinks.
My T Sports.
Bars closing down.
Tune in radio. Mixlr.
Where we going for breakfast?
My T Sports.
Don't want to go far. Rough night.
SoundCloud.
Tired, baby.
My T Sports.
Tired.
Everywhere you want to be.
My T.